Hello everyone. Today we're here with Jessica LaRue. Jessica is a 28-year-old wife, mother, and entrepreneur. She's been making a full-time income working online for the last 6 years after getting laid off from her full-time job in 2008. Within 1 month after getting laid off, she was able to earn the amount of money she used to make at her full-time job online. And 3 years after she got laid off, her husband left his job to work from home with her. Now they spend most of their time enjoying their family and living like they're retired. I reached out to Jessica because I really like her and I think she's a great person for you to learn from. She's a mother, runs a full-time business with 5 virtual assistants on her team, and has helped train hundreds of people on her main business, which earns her over 5 figures a month. And I know that while she's insanely busy, she still makes time to enjoy life. I see her post pictures on Facebook, going to concerts, going to the beach, date nights with her husband, and I just think she's an amazing example of someone who has a lot going on, but still lives a life that she can be proud of. So, Jessica, thank you so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be here, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
Totally. Now, the intention behind A Better Life is to show people that if they have a choice, they can choose a better life. So in that spirit, I'd love if you can just take a minute to just brag and share with us some of the things that you're most proud of in your life.
You know, you don't really get very much time where you get to brag, so that's kind of fun. The thing that I'm just really most proud of is just that I've been able to enjoy my family in a way that I never saw in many people's examples in my real life. My family and my husband's family just struggled financially and just with a lot of things as we were growing up. And so we didn't know how things were going to be for us when we got married and, you know, what our finances would look like. We just kind of assumed that we were going to have to struggle. It was never a desire. You know, we really wanted to work hard and make as much as we could. And just working in regular jobs, we thought, well, we'll get to the top of wherever we can get to and we'll make what we can. And just in the last few years, we've been able to just leave that normal mindset behind and do things on our own. And that's just totally changed things. And so now it's like we just live our own style of life. You know, when people look at us, they're like, I don't know what you guys do. I don't get it, but whatever. And so it's like, you know, we just kind of get to go places that we didn't think we would be able to go to. And really, it's like all just about our family that we have here, my husband and my son, and getting to spend time together and not having to worry about the normal going to work every day and watching what you're spending and just kind of getting to live the dream life, I guess.
That's amazing. And I didn't know that. You kind of like beforehand, you were kind of like, okay, well, let's just see, like with the assumption of struggling. That's pretty cool that you were still able to get to where you are now.
Yeah. You know, my mom, she always told me, because she was a single mom, and she always told me, like, you can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter how much I struggle. If you set your mind to something, then you'll be able to do it. And so I kind of always had that mindset, like, okay, I can do whatever I want. And so I tried a lot of things to get to where I am now. And I just always had that in the back of my mind. Like, it doesn't matter where I came from, but we can do better things. But you just always have that in your mind. Like, are we going to actually make it? Because you don't know. If you've never seen somebody really do that, then you don't know what it takes to get there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's so much easier to model, but to completely chart your own territory is a huge undertaking. Obviously, as we touched upon, you didn't just wake up with having this amazing life and you worked really hard to get to where you are. I know you got laid off from jobs, you tried all these different things. And I'd love for our listeners, because I want them to see that this is all about, like, life can throw tough things your way and then you can still make the choice to get through them. And so I'd love if you can describe a time in your life where you felt like things weren't going the way you wanted and you just felt really trapped and kind of what was going on then for you.
Well, I think the biggest turning point for me was when I got laid off. I was at a job where I felt like it was super stable and I knew everybody that was in management above me. And I just thought, you know what? I knew times were getting tough in the economy and that we were making layoffs. But in my mind, I was like one of the last like 5 people that would go. And so I knew that there was no way I was going to get laid off. And so it really, really hit me hard because I just didn't expect it. And at that point, it was like, okay, well, if I'm going to make a change in my life, then this is going to be the time. Because we had talked about wanting to have kids. But for me, it was like, if I'm going to have kids, I want to be able to stay home. And where we were at in life, it wasn't going to happen. We had a big house payment and we had these jobs where we were working full time. And how was I ever going to leave that job and have a kid? And so it just wasn't in the plans. And so I kind of took that as, well, okay, God is telling me something different is going to be happening. So just take it and run with it. And so, you know, after being super devastated for a little while, it took me about a week to recover. I just said, you know what, I'm just going to do my own thing. And it doesn't matter what things are supposed to look like. I'm just going to do it. And thought, okay, I'm going to take any skills that I've ever used before. And I'm just going to become an entrepreneur. I'm not going to put myself in that position again, because, you know, it doesn't matter how secure you feel that a job is. It's not. It doesn't matter. And so now I have that look on life, like things can change at any moment. So you just have to be in charge of it and you have to take everything by the reins and just be in control of what you can. And so most people would say, oh my gosh, getting laid off is probably the worst thing. But to me, it was like the best thing, because I don't know that I would have ever taken that action step on my own to leave that job or to try really hard to become an entrepreneur. I knew I wanted to, and I was fiddling with things, but would I actually make that choice to go full time without being pushed out?
Yeah, that's surprising that it took you only a week to get over being devastated.
Well, you know, like I said, we had a house payment and it was like, well, what are you going to do? Unemployment isn't going to cover that. And it was like, I already had some things going on. And I had been selling online just kind of as a hobby. And I thought, you know what, I've seen other people take this full time. So why can't I? And so I just thought, well, then I'm just going to do it. And that's just all there's going to be to it.
Wow. So your mind was never like, are we going to be able to afford the house payment? It was just kind of like, okay, this is how we're going to afford the house payment.
Yep. I just knew that I didn't want to go back to working for somebody because of how much hurt that caused me. And even sometimes still, I go back to that pain, like, I can't believe that that happened. But I just think of, if it wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so, yeah, I was just like, I had other jobs like that I had worked at before, and I left every job under really good circumstances. It went through my mind to just like go back and be like, can I come back to this job, but maybe as a higher level now because I have more experience? And I thought about that, and then I just thought, no, that's not what I want. I don't want to work for somebody else. And so I just didn't do it.
Well, good for you. Yeah. So obviously you made some choices to get to where you are now. And I'd love to hear more about some of the choices or the mindset that helped make your new decisions. So you touched on some of them. You were saying you decided like you didn't want to work for anybody else. You were going to have to be in charge of your own destiny. Was there anything else that you were kind of telling yourself to be able to get to where you are now?
Well, at that point, I really started looking for people that could be examples, because you have to have something that you can model off of, like we had kind of touched on earlier. And because I didn't have that in real life, I started looking online, trying to find people who are entrepreneurs and had made online income work for them. And so I really started to try and surround myself with people who were going to bring me up and help me to get to where I wanted to be. And realized that the people that are around me weren't going to understand, because it was like all the time people were going to be like, well, have you gotten a new job yet? And to me, it was like, I did, but it was really hard to explain that and to tell people like, I'm not looking for another job. I'm not actively looking for another job, because people just don't get that. It took even a while for me to be comfortable in that, like years to be able to say, no, this is what I'm doing and I'm not looking for something else. You know, so the big mindset was like, it doesn't really matter what other people think, but to have people around you, either virtually, like online, or in real life, if you can find them, that are going to help you to get to where you want to be. Because otherwise, your mind just kind of goes crazy and is like, you can't do this, you can't do this. And you just kind of have to find somebody who will help you out with that.
Absolutely. That's crucial. And now I have two kind of questions from that. So I'll guess the first one I'll ask is, how was it for you? Like when people were like, you know, are you going to get a job? Are you going to get a job? How did it, like, did it bring you down? Were you questioning things? What was the process with that?
It never really made me question it myself, but because I'm so quiet in real life, I didn't want to have to explain myself, because that's what I always felt like I was doing. Like I was trying to explain to people why I would make the decisions that I did. And especially when my husband left his job, I mean, that was a big one where we had people that were like, I can't believe that you would leave that good of a job to go home. You know, like, you don't know, it's uncertain. And I always felt like I was just trying to explain myself to people. And so I would kind of just leave it and not even worry about it. And so in my mind, I guess I felt not confident enough to tell people, but confident enough to do it.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
That totally makes sense. And so then when you were looking for people to surround yourself with, how did you do that?
You know, it was, for me, it was really Facebook. And I've met so many great people on Facebook. You know, you too. I met you on Facebook. And I would just went to groups where people were doing the same thing that I was. So at that point in my life, I was selling on eBay. And so I was looking at groups of people who were selling on eBay. And I would just kind of look for people that seemed like we were similar, that we had the same kind of values, and then would start chatting with them privately. And there's one girl, her name's Beth, and we're business partners now in one area. And we met online and we met on Facebook, and I would consider her one of my best friends, but we've never actually met in person. You know, we know each other so well. And that was because of online and on Facebook. So that's kind of where I went, because I didn't know. And I was so young too. You know, I didn't really know like where to go in real life. I don't know that there was even meetup at that point. So it was, for me, it was just online.
That's fabulous. I think Facebook really helps so many people.
You know, I think because we are so young, it's like, it's just natural. Virtual online friends can be just as real as real life friends, I guess.
Totally. It's amazing.
It sounds funny when I say that out loud, but.
You know, I totally get it. And so now that you are just doing so well, your husband quit his job, it's 3 years later, the people before you, like the people before when they were asking, you know, are you looking for jobs? How are they with you now?
I don't know that they really get what we do still. And I do still get sometimes, I get a lot of like, well, are you still selling stuff online? Or are you still selling on eBay? Like a lot of people don't realize the transition that we've made from selling on eBay to selling on Amazon and then to having our own consulting business and things like that. And so it's still just kind of like, I don't really try to explain it. The people that are the most important know, and they get it, and they're really interested, you know, so our really close friends in real life totally get what we do, and they seem to really support us. And my mom is like my biggest fan and my biggest supporter. And so I get to go to her with all of the like yays and things that went really well. But a lot of times people just still don't really know. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to explain, I think, because it's just a different mindset. But people don't give us a hard time anymore. You know, they're not questioning it because they see that we're doing okay and we're doing better than okay. I mean, it feels weird to say that because you don't usually talk about it out loud, but we're doing well, and people see that. So whenever we're going to the beach in the middle of the week and, you know, we're like, well, we're just going to go spend a week here, then it's like, okay, I guess you don't have to go to work like the rest of us. It's kind of turned into that, if that makes sense.
That totally makes sense. And actually, if you don't mind, like, I'd love to hear how, because you do have so much stuff going on, and I know you have your team and your mom, how were you able to make the time to go to the beach?
Well, you know, I've really just tried to put as many systems in place as I could to make time. I never wanted to be working full time. You know, to me, to work full time hours from home would be even harder than to leave and go work full time somewhere else, because we do have a son now and he's almost 4, so he takes so much attention. What I do is I try and spend my time doing things that give me the greatest return. And so you mentioned that I have virtual assistants. And so I have people who look for products for me that I can sell. And so they'll be sourcing for me. And then I just kind of pull the trigger on what I'm going to buy to sell. I have a lot of stuff on the website that generates income as well. And so I just try and spend the time on things that are going to produce the most results. So I can't focus on things that are going to be sold one time now. Since you sell on Amazon, you kind of get that. I'm sure you want to spend time finding something that's going to generate income over a period of time instead of just once. And so that's kind of what we focus on a lot now is if we can get something and we can sell 1,000 of it, well, then that's going to make us whatever our profit is times 1,000. So, you know, even something as small as we only make $8 profit on it, when we make 1,000 of those, then we make $8,000. And so I try and look at things in the broader perspective now. which takes a lot of time. It's not like you can come out right when you start a business doing that, because, you know, the first few years, it was like a lot of work and a lot of time. But just as things have changed over the years and we've gotten systems down and more in place, it's gotten to the point where we can do that. We can invest more money up front on items, and we don't have to spend so much time to do the things. The same things take less time because of the money.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And even still, like, I think even for people just listening out, some of the things that you said are really, really good as far as, like, you said with your website, sometimes people can just find you via your website. And I think that's originally how I heard of your name, was I was just doing searches around Amazon and I came to one of your tutorials. And it's such a high leverage thing to do, is to spend time on your blog, because you have Google, like, pointing to you forever, and you have people pointing to your article from other blog posts and stuff. So it's definitely one of those kind of activities that just keeps on giving you returns over and over, versus just, like you said, the one-off things that you might sell once. And even if it's like a $20 profit or something, if you can't leverage it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the things, is everybody's at that point where you had said you have more time than you have money. And I talk about that a lot with the people that I work with doing Amazon business. It's like, you're going to come to a point where you don't want to be spending the time for the money. It's like, what can you do to get more time but make more money? You know, because a lot of things, like clipping coupons, for example, is something where it takes a lot of time. But if you don't have the money, you're willing to give up that time because you need the money. But later, you'll spend that extra 50 cents per item so that you don't have to spend the 4 hours preparing for it. I think that's really important in any type of business, even like with websites. If you have virtual assistants, you're trading time for money. You're giving them money so that you can have time. But at that point, you feel like your time is worth more than the money that you're paying.
Absolutely. And I think another thing that people can think about is, like, a lot of times with the clipping coupons and trying to save money, even when you're first starting out, I think some people put so much energy into saving money, and it's so much easier to take that same energy, because you can only save so much. But if you take that same energy and put it into producing more income, you can just have so many better results. So I think it's, like, great to kind of look at it from both perspectives. Where you can save, awesome, but put the majority on what can you do to actually get more results.
Right.
Even for people starting out, there's higher leverage things that they can do, right? Would you agree?
Yeah. I think anything that you do for yourself, there's ways that you can leverage, you know, even if it's having people in your neighborhood help out with different things around your house so that you have more time to focus on stuff that produces better results. You know, there's always ways to leverage.
Totally, totally. And I guess one other thing to just mention for people listening, like, and I'd be curious if you do this too, but one thing that I find that, like, really helps is if I'm in a situation that I'm feeling, like, trapped in or something, or just, like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this in a way that feels easy, is just ask yourself the question, like, how can I make this easier? How can I do this in a way where I'm not stressing myself out financially? And that's amazing what the mind can come up with as far as answers to that question.
Right. And it's usually something, I don't know why it never just comes super easy, because that would make it too easy, right? You kind of have to get stuck to really think outside the box and try and figure out a new solution.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just starting now the podcast series, but I'm seeing, like, a theme is a lot of people are saying they had these things that happened to them that weren't the most positive, but they turn out to be these amazing blessings because they were able to navigate out of them. And just like you with getting laid off.
Right.
Yeah. So now you're kind of living like you're retired, you're 28. I'm wondering, do you have a specific action step or something that you do on a regular basis to just keep having this awesome life that you have?
Well, I'm always just looking for new ways that I can improve on what I'm already doing, or ways that I can make it easier. So the virtual assistants was a big one. If I'm spending too much time trying to figure something out, or if something's taking too long for me to do myself, then that was a big one to do time. But also just to really spend time with people who build you up and who you can learn from, even if that's just like reading websites of positive people, then I think that really impacts you.
Yeah, I think so too. That's actually the whole reason behind this podcast, is I just think having that daily motivation for people is so important, because especially like if you're working behind the computer all the time, it can be so isolating.
Yeah, you always feel like you're alone, and you're not. but you, because you don't have that office, you know, I think for entrepreneurs, that's the biggest thing is you don't have that place that you can just go and reach over the cubicle to somebody or meet at the water cooler and just kind of chit chat. You have to intentionally do that. You have to make those connections in real life and virtually as well. But otherwise, you kind of go crazy, I think.
Yeah, I agree. When you decided to start outsourcing, how far in your business were you?
That's just something that I've done in the last year.
Wow, I didn't realize that. So you built five assistants in a year?
Yeah, and they're not all full-time. And I have one that's full-time, and then the others just do specialty things for me. But just things that were hard for me to do. If I don't know how to do something, I'm pretty much always last minute. I don't know why I do that. but I'll just like for my website, if I don't know how to do something, I'll just sit down and try and figure it out. Well, all of a sudden I realize that it's been like 12 hours and I either barely figured it out or I'm still just as confused as when I got started. And so I realize I can't do all of this on my own. I'm trying to grow because that's what happened is I decided I want to make things bigger and I want to make more money. And so I started spending more time. And then I was like, no, I'd rather make less money, but spend less time. And so it was like, how can I do both? How can I spend less time and make more money? And so that was kind of the only thing I could do was have people help me. And so I got, you know, website specialists. And then I have the people who help me in my Amazon business. And then we even have some people locally that help with the Amazon business as well. Anything that I didn't have to do myself, it's on the list of things to get somebody else to do now.
That's awesome. And that's such a good thing that you were saying about asking yourself the right question. So asking yourself, how can I spend less time and make more money? And then all of a sudden you come up with these phenomenal answers. How did you find the people to hire?
A lot was for the website stuff was a lot of referrals and just going with people that other people know. A lot of trial and error on Odesk, you know, trying different people and just kind of seeing how we work together. And, you know, it doesn't always work out. You kind of think this is going to be perfect. But something that I've realized with the virtual assistants is that it's really about how well you can explain things. And I think from being someone who's like a solopreneur for so long, where you're just kind of in charge of everything, it's really hard to explain exactly what you want. And so I've had this conversation with my husband a lot, like, how come my virtual assistant can't just read my mind? Like, can't I just say, I want this and then it gets done? And so that's kind of taken a lot. I think no matter where you find the person, be it Odesk or freelance, or I've even done Facebook posts like on my business page, like, does anybody know how to do this? And then built relationships that way. It takes a lot personally to work with someone. Have you realized that too? Because I know that you do a lot of work with assistants.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had a company. I don't know if I ever told you. I had a company back in 2010. We had 120 employees at one point. And it was just insane. We were like just dealing with so many different people. I had to learn a lot about hiring and like best practices and stuff. So what I realize now is that when I'm hiring for something, like if I know how to do it, then I'll just either have a video or I'll outline every single step that needs to be taken. I think, and that really helps too. Like when I find the more specific I get in the job descriptions, the higher quality people respond and like the less overwhelmed that they get. So I think the expectations are better. Or like sometimes if, again, when I know how to do something, I'll make a training video and then I'll have sometimes people even take a test based on the training video. And if they do well, then I'll hire them because I know that they can do what I need. That's really good. And then on the things where I don't know what to do, like I can't make the training video for technical stuff, then yeah, I think referrals are definitely the best way to go for those kind of things, or asking people if they've done that specific thing before. That's really helpful too.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
No,
you know. I'm trying to get better at that to really be able to explain what I'm looking for to make that whole relationship work better. Because since it is so new, you know, just this is my first year. And being such an introvert, it is kind of hard to explain exactly. That's my process.
Yeah, I hear you, fellow introvert. I think the other thing that's really helpful, I learned years ago from Evan Pagan, he talks about when you work with outsourcers to have them answer three questions every day, which is number one, what did you get done that day? Number two, did you have any challenges or obstacles to overcome? And number three, do you have any questions for me? And I think that's really good because when you're getting the daily reports, you kind of know what's going on. It makes it safe for them to be able to tell tell you if they're having any problems and any questions also just makes it safe for them to be in communication with you. And I think that especially until you really get to know somebody, just the more communication, the better.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. I'd love to like switch gears a little bit and just ask, I know that you're surrounding yourself with people that bring you up and you read lots of things and everything about just keeping yourself motivated. And I'd love to hear on the other side, what do you think is something that most people don't talk about in the personal development world that maybe it's just not sexy or just doesn't, like, I'd just love to hear kind of from someone who's been able to create such an amazing life for yourself, like, what goes behind the scenes that kind of is maybe a little bit more work beyond just think it so or something?
Well, I think that the biggest one is that it takes time and it takes a lot of effort. When we do these kind of like interviews, it's years later, it's years down the road. And I mean, imagine if we had done this like my first year, I'd be like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And this is just crazy. I'm spending all this time. And so I think that's the biggest one is that there's always more to what you see, like on the surface. You can look at, say, a six-figure Amazon business and think, oh, they have it so easy. It didn't start that way. And for me, it's like the beginning is where all the hard work comes. And so people have to realize that it's not super fun. It's not sexy, you know, when you're staying up super late. You know, for me, when I first started really heavy in the Amazon side, my son was just a newborn. I was pregnant and then he was a newborn whenever I was really building it. And it's like, that wasn't really a fun time, you know, like I'm staying up when he's sleeping, trying to make an income because I was still trying to replace, or I had replaced the income that I lost, but we still needed it to pay bills. And so it's not like just because I had a kid, all of a sudden I could quit. So it was a lot of really, really hard work to get to where I'm at now. And I think that that's really important to see that it doesn't matter where we are today, but just to know that it took a lot of effort to get there. And so if you find yourself struggling because things don't look like they do for other people, just know that it wasn't all rainbows and butterflies for us in the beginning either. It's not easy in the beginning and that it does take a lot of work. And, you know, it's not 10-hour weeks whenever you first get started. It's 50-hour weeks and then barely making enough, but you are. And then you get to the point where you're working 10 hours a week and you're making more than enough.
That totally makes sense. And I'm really glad that you brought up the part about when your son was born, because I know a lot of mothers listening are going to be really curious about that. And I can just, when you are talking, like you painted that picture so well about your son sleeping, you're taking the time to go and get work done. And I could just feel how stressful that must have been. But you were just, you had your eye on the prize.
I think then I had no idea what the prize was going to be. I just knew it wasn't going to be where I was before. If there was somebody that I was listening to then that was telling me what it could look like, gosh, I probably would have even worked even harder. You know, they would have been 60-hour weeks because I just didn't know. And so to be here now and look back, it was like all that hard work and all that people not understanding, it was all worth it.
Mm, I love it. And that's great. Like you said, if someone could tell you what it would be like, I feel like you just painted a really great picture for a lot of people of what it could be like. I think a lot of people are going to hear what you're saying and feel really inspired.
I hope so. That's just so awesome now, you know, with being able to talk to so many people and kind of, I don't mean like having a name, but where people come to me and like to see people's lives change and know like I was there. It really means a lot.
I love it. And in the spirit of just making this kind of this podcast feel real and letting people know that no matter where we go, we're still going to have struggles, I'd love if you could just let people know something that you're working on right now and how you're getting through it.
Well, one of the things like that I've really been struggling with lately is kind of trying to find that balance between having a public life. Like I just said, I'm not necessarily like a well-known name, but people do know who I am. It wasn't like my goal in the beginning to be that way. It just kind of happened. And what I've been really struggling with now is trying to differentiate myself and to not get hurt. If you said that you looked at my Facebook page and you may have noticed that like I haven't posted anything in a couple weeks. And it was like, I just kind of had a period where I just got tired of like dealing with the people who try to make you feel worse to make their self feel better. And that happens so much on the internet and whenever you're like, I keep saying public figure, but like that's not how I see it. I just can't think of another word for it. But like I've been dealing with a lot of people who are like trying to bring me down to their level. And so I'm kind of at the point where I'm like backing off a little bit to just really focus on myself and my family so that whenever I come back full force, it's like those things aren't going to bother me. So I think that the more that you make yourself open and vulnerable, the more people take advantage of that. And so I'm kind of at that point now where I've been really, really vulnerable. And now it's like people are really taking advantage of it. And so I'm like, okay, I need to just kind of really refocus and figure out where I am in this and not lose myself. I can't let other people affect that. That's kind of where I'm at right now is trying.